Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful mashallah Wednesday morning, the bliss of marriage part 2 with myself Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia and our beloved respected فضيلة الأستاذ حضرت مولانا مفتي عبد القادر حسين حفظه الله. And of course let's welcome our engineer this morning, none other than brother Tobella. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Haji Yusuf Asmal and company. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. 084-786-3132, that's our WhatsApp number. Any questions you would like to pose, inshallah, our beloved teacher, Ustad, senior Ustad, is with us this morning. To the international countries, plus 2-784-786-3132. The 10th of Safar 1441, let's welcome our beloved Ustad. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa lana jazakallahu khairan.
Ameen, inshallah. Ustaz, let's begin, inshallah, with our bliss of marriage. A listener wants to know that, Mufti Saab, what is the role of a brother-in-law in Islam, Ustaz?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before I respond to the query, let me make the announcement that tonight, inshallah, between 8 and 9, will be the program Medical File, hosted by Dr. Yusuf Wahid, and his special guest this evening tonight will be Dr. Farooq Randeri, and he is a specialist psychiatrist, and they are discussing OCD. So a very important topic for all the esteemed listeners. Okay, what is the role of a brother-in-law? Brother-in-law in English can have two meanings. One is my wife's brother, and one is brother-in-law married to my sister. So if we are speaking about the brother-in-law, the wife's brother, so you must remember that in that way there, how we treat other Muslims, we should be treating them. And remember, there must be respect and so forth. And if you are speaking about the husband's brother, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Alhamu al-maut. So how you fear death, you must fear the brother-in-law, because he has easy access to the house. Many a time he can be there when the husband, meaning his brother, is not there. He can be alone with his brother's wife, his sister-in-law, and so many things can happen. So therefore, there must be strict parda in those instances. So many a time, you know, incidents have taken place. We know of incidents that the husband is married to that wife, and because no parda, no nothing, and then they had an affair, that is the wife and the brother-in-law, the husband's brother, the husband divorced her, and then she married that brother there. So all these type of things come about because we took the laws of parda and that and threw it out of the window, and we said that this is not practical, we say that this is not applicable, and therefore Islam has the segregation of the genders so that you have a pure, a chaste society. Otherwise you see in today's world, I just heard the news now, 11 o'clock while I was driving to come here to the studio, that in South Africa, in schools, Monday, somebody got stabbed. Today, a Tuesday, yesterday, somebody got stabbed. Today, somebody got stabbed. So when you don't have discipline and you come with crazy laws that nobody can hit, the parents can't hit, their corporal punishment is outlawed. So this is what you see, the criminals and the bad elements, they become bolder and bolder, and you have a violent society. So South Africa, you know, they say is one of the most violent societies besides those countries where war is taking place, when you have 58 murders a day. So I'm trying to show you in Islam that when we have discipline, when we have laws, then remember, they can never ever be abrogated and cancelled and amended. because we want a disciplined society, we want a dynamic society that must uphold the law. And South Africa, if you just draw the comparison, will become a failed state completely because no one respects the law. So you can just see everybody does their own thing. So this is what Islam does not want, that which lands up in chaos and mayhem. So therefore, we need to understand the wisdom of Islam.
Subhanallah. Listener says, Ustaz, that please advise, if a husband passed away on the 3rd of June 2019, then what date does the wife's iddat finish, Ustaz?
What you must do is, from the time your husband passed away, you know the exact time, you know the exact date, you count 130 days, 130 days from time of death. Whether you take the Gregorian calendar, whether you look at the Islamic calendar, it's not going to make a difference. So that will be your iddat arba'ata ashhuriyu wa ashara. And if you are pregnant and expecting, then Surah 65, Surah Talaq, verse 4, wa ulatul ahmali ajaluhunna ayyada'na hamlahun. Then delivery of the baby, whether it be after 3, 4, 5 weeks, or whether it be after 5, 6, 7 months. So in the case of talaq and divorce, and in the case where the husband passed away, if the lady is pregnant, then her iddat will only expire after she has given birth. And that is what you need to know. And in a case like this, where your husband passed away, during that iddat waiting period, you cannot wear new clothes. You cannot use, you understand, henna and mehendi. You can't be wearing jewelry. So all these things are no-no and haram. Yes, when your iddat finishes, then you wear new clothes in your house. You wear your jewelry. You apply your perfume in the confines of your house. So all that would be permissible. You, the widow, and you, the children, the best dua you should read for the marhum, for the deceased. Rabba Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Rabbana ghfirli wa liwalidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. So it shows that they in need of our du'as. So we should be making du'a sincerely and abundantly.
Ameen. Mufti, my friend asked me to say that if her husband want to take a second wife, she must allow it. Because Islam allows it, we are just selfish and maybe she chased him to another woman. But he had nothing know that he is rich. He wants to leave me after I worked for him. I did all the hard work. Is that fair, Mufti Sahab?
Remember that that friend of yours is not a friend. Maybe she wants to become the second wife, or maybe she wants some of her family to become the second wife. People 90% of the time have an ulterior motive. Therefore, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mustasharu mu'tamanun." When you consult people, consult such people who are people who have honesty, integrity, not some hidden agenda, ulterior motive. This sister, lady who's telling you that you should allow this, you should curtail ties with her. Her mind is toxic and she's going to poison your mind as well. So remember, you are the first wife. You made all the sacrifices. Now your husband has become rich and famous, and now somebody else wants to come. So tell your husband, whatever he owes you, he must first pay you out all these type of things. Then he can do whatever he wants to. He will not be prepared to do that. So people want to practice on Islam selectively. Nobody says you can't take a second wife, third wife, fourth wife. We all say it's permissible. But we also say what Quran Kareem mentions in that same verse, Masna wa thulath wa ruba, chapter 4, surah 4, surah Nisa, verse 3. Fa in khiftum alla ta'dilu fa wahida. If you fear you cannot do justice, then you stick with one wife. You know 90% of the Muslim men today cannot do justice. So therefore, in that case, they must just keep the old wife. The old wife is old is gold, and that is the best for them. And you, sister, if you know what is good for you, from now already start taking your shares from your husband, whatever he owes you. Because tomorrow, if he takes a second wife or he passes away, then I can see big trouble. trouble already coming on. The sons, the daughters, the family will try and marginalize you, and they will try and tell you, no, this is only your share. And every day these type of things happen because we take our wives for granted, and that is not permissible.
So let us go to anonymous brother. He says here, Mufti, I listen to Merkaz Sahaba attentively daily, every day, and I am a Christian. And my intention is that I want to marry a Muslim girl, Mufti Sab. What's the way about to go forward? A lot of people say nobody will marry me because I am a Christian. So how do I do? Can I contact Mufti Sab after the program, Ustad?
It's very straightforward, my brother. You don't have to contact me. I'm giving you the response now. You know, every Muslim, we believe in the Quran Sharif, the noble Quran, our constitution, and we believe in the Sunnah, the teachings, preachings of the Messenger of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Master Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who elaborated and explained the Quran Sharif. He was the walking, talking Quran. So, my brother, you have a translation of the noble Quran, or you might see it on your Google or what have you. Just the punch in there, chapter 60, verse 10. Chapter 60, verse 10. There Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, the Supreme Being states, La, we believe from the bottom of our heart, unconditionally, unreservedly, the entire Quran, our noble constitution, is a direct speech of Almighty Allah. So he states, La hunna hillu lahum, wa la hum yahilluna lahun. Chapter 60 of the Noble Quran, verse 10, that no Muslim woman and female is halal and permissible and lawful for any non-Muslim male. وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنْ, and they, the non-Muslim men, are not permissible for the Muslim lady. So whether you are a Jew, whether you're Christian, whether you're Hindu, whether you're fire worshipper, idolater, whatever, atheist, so across the board and spectrum is not permissible. So if you are sincere, you want to marry the Muslim lady, become a true Muslim, prove yourself for next 6 months, 1 year or whatever, and then you go and tell that family that, see, this is my track record and so forth, and then you go and propose for that lady. If you are sincere in your quest, then Almighty Allah will open up many doors. But I need to be honest with you, my brother. I don't know your name, so we'll just say Tom, Dick or Harry. So my brother Tom, Dick or Harry, you need to also know that we need to be pragmatic on this situation. So many a non-Muslim embrace Islam, and after 1 day, 1 week, he got married to the Muslim lady. He deflowered her, enjoyed her. Sometimes there's a child, children. And after 1 year, 2 years, he went back to his old religion. Because I'm emphasizing one word, if you are listening to my response, and that is sincerity, devotedly, dedication is required. So you need to become Muslim to understand in that lies your salvation. Not with the motive and intention, you want to have a good time with the Muslim lady, and then you will dump her and drop her. Obviously, then it's better you don't embrace Islam if that is your intention and motive. That only Almighty Allah knows. I'm giving you both sides of the scenario. So wherever you are in Johannesburg, Port Elizabeth, Durban, Cape Town, you go to the mosque and you just tell the people there, you want to embrace Islam, prove yourself. After 6 months, 1 year, then you propose, then they'll accept it, inshallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Dr. Sab says, I love your answer, Ustad. Prove yourself for about 6 to ± a year. That's what Dr. Sab says here to the brother. The brother's name is double A-R-O-N, Ustad.
Harun. So
subhanallah.
So very good. You become Muslim. We call you Harun, my brother. So what happened is that when they anglicized it, you see it's Arabic word, they anglicized it, they took the H away. So they made Harun into Aaron. So you must remember
Allah
that. And then they say Harun, Aaron is buried there in Petra in Jordan, which is a fabrication. It's not the truth. I've been to Petra and Jordan various times in Jordan. So anyway, my brother, that's a separate topic, but discussing your name, Harun, Aaron, so your name is sorted out. Now we have to sort you out, my brother. So you become Muslim, and after you become Muslim, we're going to circumcise you also. So all that. If you're not not circumcised. So you have to prove yourself, my brother.
Inshallah. Brother Aaron, I hope you are smiling. Ustad, do you believe in Islamic schools or public schools for your children? The sister wants to know from Azadwal, Ustad.
Let's put it this way, three answers. Mm-hmm. If you are asking me, you know I don't have children, but if you are asking me, if I had children, what should I do? I should not enroll them in any public school or any Islamic school. That I should have homeschooling done. Because today the Muslim schools also, they want to abide that their children must get matric certificate. The curriculum must be according to the school and government. Half the subjects taught there are a waste of time. I went to university, went to school, and half the things I studied never ever helped me in my life. Total waste of time, you understood? So what is the need of the hour? The need of the hour is this. Teach your children at home. I just told you about the school situation now. Three students stabbed in three different provinces, three different schools in 3 days. That's an indictment upon South Africa and our security and our schooling system. Remember that. We need to be honest on these type of issues here. So, because half the topics and subjects that are taught are total waste of time and money, you can add that as well, because you have to pay for all the studies nowadays. So, nevertheless, so you choose and select the subjects and then you get teachers to teach them, and in that way there, you will see they become a greater asset to community and society and so forth. And your thinking also will not be just straight-jacket thinking. You will think out of the box. Remember that. And that is what Islam wants also, that you must be a thinker and not just like a sheep and just follow. So you must remember that. You need to understand. So that's the first answer. Second answer is, if you got the choice, you don't want to do homeschooling, and then you got public school and Muslim school, then obviously we'll tell you the Muslim school is better compared to the public school. But remember, if you're asking me, my advice in this day, this age, I went to America in 2000 and I visited first few schools. And one Jummah lecture there, I still remember, I mentioned this here. You know there are 52 weeks in a year. And when I analyze your students, your children's situation, 35, 40 Jummas per year they are missing. So what do you have to say about that? Are you sending your children to Jannat or are you sending your children to hell? You have to answer. Just for the American passport, you sold your Islam and you sold everything. So, and you have 1 hour madrasa or 2 hour madrasa per week. I ask you, a child who studies Islam 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week, half the time day absent and so forth. So 1 hour a week. Do you really think that child will really have Islam, a sufficient Islamic education? So that is what we are seeing today. And let me make another point very clear. That there's a whole Islamic school system that, you know, has replaced the madrasa system. We went to school in the morning and in the afternoon we went to madrasa. There's no better system than that. No Islamic school can teach you better than what the maktab system taught us. We went to school, we went to high school, and in the afternoon you go to madrasa, 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock. That is the best system. I'm dead against this, that you must close the maktabs and so forth. The maktab, that afternoon madrasa, is the backbone of our Islamic akidah belief. And remember, children who came out through that system, you will see the results are definitely different compared to what we see today. So these are observations that we need to be honest to ourselves.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 084-786-3132. The sister says from Azad al-Ustad, Jazakumullahu khair. Ustad, homeschooling, she says, if you request, if so, by whom? Homeschooling, by whom, Ustad?
If you are from Azad world, it's very easy. You go to the Darulum there. You got Qari Abdullah there. He's now like the principal, deputy principal of the Darulum. He never ever went to school. So his parents, you must remember, Maulana Abdul Hamid and them, they never sent them to school. So they did homeschooling. You go and ask him how he studied and so forth. So today he's running a big madrasa, a big darulum. So that is how you got the pakki pakai roti. You got it at your doorstep there. So just go and ask them. They'll give you all the context, inshallah.
Subhanallah. Ustad, I'm not sure if this question relates to the bliss of marriage, but is tarot card, T-A-R-O-T, tarot card reading permissible in Islam? If not, why is not permissible? Allah bless you for all your work. Sister Naila, mashallah, from Lower Zambezi. No more Ruth, Ustad, Sister Naila.
Mashallah, Sister Naila, we love that name because Allah, it's the name of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an. If you are following me on Twitter, my Twitter handle is @AKHusain, @AKHOOSEN. Yesterday, last night, I found a very good photo of Hazrat Usman, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu's Mubarak Qabr, and I sent it out and I made a brief note there and said this is the Qabr Mubarak of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu day in Baqi in Medina Munawwara. He was married first to Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha. After her demise, then he married Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. Both of them are the beloved daughters of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never ever in history did any one person from time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam right up to the time of Sayyiduna wa Habibuna wa Shafiuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did one person marry one the same Nabi's two daughters, one after the other, besides Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an. Only he has this distinction, and therefore he has the title of Zunnurain, the possessor of two radiant lights and bright lights, referring and alluding to the beloved daughters of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an, remember his wife's name was Naila, and when they came to assassinate Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an, she placed her hand, and to defend her honorable husband, they even cut her fingers and amputated it, Allah forbid. So these are the shaitanic and the satanic forces who committed these crimes right there in Medina Munawwara. Be that as it may, what you are calling about the tarot cards and all those type of things, absolutely haram in Islam. You go to these people, fortune tellers, these people who tell you they can tell you your fortune. Ask them if they can tell you your fortune. How come they're not looking at their own fortune? They sitting there waiting for customers. They should become multimillionaires. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ata kahinan." You go to this fortune teller, you go to this gypsy people, you go to this cards, the tarot cards and whatever, horoscope cards and what have you, and thereafter you believe and you confirm that what they say is true, فَقَدَ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Such a person, there's fear, he might go right out of the fold of Islam. And the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Sister Naila, always remember, we are Muslims, and Muslim, this is our belief. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Good, bad, happy, sad, everything comes from Almighty Allah. You give birth to a wonderful baby boy, a beautiful baby girl, so that is from Almighty Allah. And after 5 days, 10 days, 1 year, the son, the daughter passes away, so that also is from Almighty Allah. So don't get caught up in all these things here. They're pulling the wool over the people's eyes as far as Islam is concerned.
Ustad, an unmarried female is 7 weeks pregnant by a Hindu male, Ustad. Her parents want her to have an abortion at this stage. Will it be permitted as the lesser evil if the boy refuses to embrace Islam? Anonymous, Ustad.
Remember, there's no such thing as abortion. She was happy to sleep with this mushrik and idol worshipper. And you must remember, if he embraces Islam, then they must get married. And if he don't want to embrace Islam, then remember, the child is waladu zina, is a harami child, illegitimate child. The lineage will go to the mother, and the parents are only worried about their so-called reputation. Remember, your reputation is already tattered already. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You, the daughter of that Muslim parents, and that person there who's guilty, if you were living in a true Islamic Muslim country, then 100 lashes should be given to both parties there in public. Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 2, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِيَةَ جَلْدًا. Don't show them mercy and compassion, Quran says. And that is her punishment. Abortion is totally haram. Islam. You committed zina, fornication, now you want to become a murderer. You will regret for the remainder of your life. Your conscience will get the better of you. The parents are being selfish. They're only thinking of their so-called honor. Remember that you parents are also guilty. Are you blind? Can't you see what's happening with your daughter? You gave them so much freedom. You gave them so much money. And now she slept with a mushrik and an idol worshipper. And now you worried about your izzat. Wa tu'izzu man tasha wa tuzillu man tasha. So there's no lesser evil. It's a greater evil. One side she is a fornicatress, and now she'll become a murderer if she takes your advice and commits abortion. Absolutely haram and not permissible.
Allahu Akbar. 29 minutes to 12. I see Dr. Saab says from White River. That's why they call you AK-47.
Dr. Saab, I'm coming there to your White River next week, Thursday, inshallah. And you must be ready. I don't know if you're available or not, but I'll be there, inshallah.
Most probably, Ustad says, inshallah, he will try his best, inshallah, to meet you, Ustad. Ustad, Mufti Saab, I'm from Durban. I always beat my wife up when she don't give me my food on time. I'm from Chatswood. I have my rights, isn't? But to what extent can I punish her? Anonymous brother, Ustad.
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us in the noble Quran and commands every husband, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love and respect and justice. For you to beat your wife up and assault her, she must go and lay a charge against you for assault. That's not your right. What you are doing is absolutely haram. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khayrukum khayrukum li ahalikum wa ana khayrukum li ahali. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and children. And I, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Islam, am the best to the entire creation, to my wives and my children. It's authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Now imagine you are hungry, the hungry man is angry, so now you go and beat your wife up. And then you expect the food on time. So you should be the one that you should tell her, darling, I will help you. I will do this. I will do that. I will employ somebody to assist you. That is what you should be doing. And what you are doing, my advice to your wife, I hope she's listening, take him straight to the police and then charge him for assault and wife battering. You must put you in prison. That is what they need to do. That is the right thing to do.
Allahu Akbar. Somebody says, Ustad, can I send my two daughters, who's 12 years old, who's 14 years old, to my sister and them for holidays in Zimbabwe, for school holidays? Is it permissible, Ustad? Is it okay?
It's not permissible because you have your son, your daughter, and they are baligh and so forth. So now with your sister, there's no problem. She is the khala. So you must remember, al-khala to be manzilatil But remember that the sister's husband, so he is not a person who is a mahram for your daughter. So you must remember these type of things here. People make a mistake. The khalu, the masaji, is not a mahram. And people think that, no, handau chandu chale. Everything is all right. Kullu halal. The masaji is not. Masaji is our language. Maso, masi, masaji, all that. So I am married to Fatima. Fatima got a sister, Aisha. So Aisha got a husband. So the Aisha's husband is not mahram for my daughter. Always remember these things there. So if you're going to send them to Zambia, Zimbabwe, Hammanskraal, wherever, and now they're going to stay there for 1 week, 2 weeks, I ask you one question, and you know what is the answer. You think that your daughter will exercise parda with that uncle? You think that uncle will exercise parda, hijab, with your daughter? Never. So therefore, it's not permissible and not acceptable.
25 minutes to 12. We're going to go, inshallah, for an interval. When we get back, yes, my beloved listeners of the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaa and Sirius FM. Don't go away. Stay tuned. Shukran, ya Rabbi,
shukran. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
23 minutes to 12. You are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage, 084-786-3132. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Haji Yusuf Asmal and Company. And let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I was actually having a look at this question. Ustad, you have to listen to this. Move this up. I listen to Markaz Sahaba every morning. My husband is very jealous and possessive over me and says I should not listen to men's voices anymore. Mufti, it is your programs I listen to only. What is the way forward? Anonymous, I love Markaz Sahaba. Ustad.
Obviously that your husband is feeling threatened because what we are speaking is the truth and many a time he will be found wanting and guilty. So to tell you, you can't listen to the men. So when Nabi alayhi salatu salam was speaking and the women were listening, so what you will say about that? He's confusing the way the woman speak. That is now alluring and seductive and so forth. The Quran speaks of that. It's haram then and so forth. But for the man, remember the woman gunu. The man has to teach the ummah and so forth. So therefore he's using, excuse to deprive you. So what he's doing is haram and not permissible. You must remember that you, the man, you need to learn. If you can't educate your wife and so forth, then let them sit in their houses and be educated. So alhamdulillah, you sit with her and you can also learn in that way.
Well said, Ustad. Well said. Muftad, my husband lives in Pakistan due to work and comes home once a year for 3 weeks only. Is that nikah valid, Ustad?
The nikah is valid, but it's not a desirable situation. Quran Kareem calls marriage Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. That the husband must be the garment for the wife must be the garment and clothing for the husband. So how the clothing, it brings us warmth, it brings us comfort. So the husband must be touching the wife, embracing the wife must be touching the husband, embracing the husband. Now you in South Africa, he's in Pakistan, thrice or 3 weeks a year he comes. So obviously it is not a good situation, but regarding your nikah is valid. You need to tell your husband he must find a job here in South Africa, or you go to Pakistan and go settle down there. But what you're doing now, remember, is definitely unhealthy for both parties.
This one says, I moved this up. I'm enjoying the bliss of marriage. This is part two. I missed part one yesterday, but inshallah, I will get the podcast, Ustad. And he says, Jazakumullah khairan for all your valuable time. Moved this up. I heard on one of the radio stations that it is not compulsory for a lady to cook for her husband. Please expound on this, as this seems to be causing a lot of marriages to break down. Shukran, Ustad. Anonymous.
Okay, yeah, there are three issues. You missed yesterday's program, Bliss of Marriage. Mona Arafat has got your number there. So he will send you yesterday's podcast. Mashallah, our brother Tobela, he had the podcast done. I sent it out to all the contacts. So inshallah, Mona Arafat will send it to you. Second issue, is this. We don't know which station and we don't want to know which station it is. But many a time that the listener also, they suffer from selective hearing. They just hear one part and conveniently we call it amnesia. We call it selective hearing. That mean that they hear half and deliberately they don't hear the other half. Third one, if that Maulana or whoever said that and he said it the way you are saying, then he's wrong. You must remember that. So if it's written in the book of jurisprudence, the wife don't have to cook. So this is also written, if the husband commands her she must cook, then she has to cook. So you must remember, you can't take one side of the story and then the other side conveniently you just forget it and so forth. Yes, for her to cook for her father-in-law, mother-in-law, brother-in-law, there she's just doing them a favor, that's not compulsory. But we will still encourage her and tell her that she should cook for them occasionally and so forth. But for her husband, if the husband tells her, then what she's to do if she don't cook? Whole day she'll look in the mirror and make mirror on the wall, who's the whitest of them all, and she will take the car and gallivant everywhere to the malls and all that? No, Islam don't allow that. So if the husband tells her, cook meals, do this, then it's compulsory upon her to do so. So don't get the wrong end of the miswak to suit your own whims, fancies and desires.
Ustaz, let us go to Chipata. It says, Mufti Sahab, in today's times, can we trust our daughter who just turned 16 years old with my husband's brother? He's married, Ustad. We know he won't do nothing to her. He takes her like his own daughter, Ustad, from Zimbabwe, Ustad. Chipata, Zambia, sorry.
Whether it is in this time or in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, I gave you the hadith just now. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Alhamu al-maut. Remember that the husband's brother, you must fear him as you fear death. Now take this as a case study. So you have a daughter 16 years old. So yes, she is baligh, she is mature, right? Mm-hmm. But is she mentally mature? Is she still wet behind her ears on many issues? She is still very, very naive. In your language, we will say nadan. So she is still very, very naive. Now you say that your husband's brother, he's married, now she goes there, or he speaks to her and all that, nothing will happen, he's a good man. What guarantee you got? So you must remember this, even if nothing happens, still is not permissible, because Islam does not make laws for individuals. Islam make law for the masses and the public and the millions and billions of people. So that is what happens. Today, people commit incest with their own sister. People commit incest with their own mother, Allah forbid. So all these things, so therefore, for your husband's brother to be alone with your daughter, 16 years old and so forth, or even if his wife is there, and she's there, and they're sitting, and they're chatting, and socializing, and all, it's not permissible this, because you're opening the doors of fitna, and Quran Kareem taught us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Islam didn't say, do not commit fornication or adultery only. Islam said, do not even approach it, do not even go near it. So that is why Islam brought this type of laws. We want a pure and a chaste society. Otherwise, you'll end up like South Africa and New Zealand, like Swaziland and so forth. Not, by mistake, I said New Zealand, Swaziland, you understood? Where you sit with the AIDS pandemic, like you can't believe. Children today, I give you yesterday's story. Yesterday, somebody came to me and told me, you know what happened? The mother had AIDS and she was breastfeeding her baby, and now the baby also got AIDS. Imagine that, the baby a few months old, masoom and innocent. So this is what happens when you leave your society to sleep with who they want to and do what they want to, and then you tell the world we got the best constitution in the world. What good is that constitution, if you ask me, is not worth the paper on which it's written, when you allow people to do all the vices in the world. Abortion legal, gambling legal, homosexuality legal, everything becomes legal. So therefore, look at the consequences and you see what a mess we are in now. So you need to always bring the divine scriptures. Every divine scripture, whether it be the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil, the Quran, they all said there's no place for adultery, there is no place for fornication, there is no place for homosexuality, all this. So therefore, remember, Islam will never allow these type of things.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. A sister from Uport says, well said, Mufti Sahab, now I don't feel guilty anymore. Well, listening to Murka Sahaba. That's the sister says. Somebody says, Ustad, I'm married now for 10 years. And every year my life with my husband seems to get harder. No affection, no intimacy. Sometimes I feel so emotionally drained by the things he does. And he does not seem to find a problem with it. How do I get away from this man, Ustad? I'm at a point where I don't feel nothing or want him any longer. Anonymous sister, Ustad.
What has happened to you and your husband, you're ending up with a stale marriage. Stale marriage means that you're drifting apart. Instead of coming closer to one another, you're moving away from one another. And remember, you might have children, and therefore you're just hanging in there. So what is the reason and the cause for this? Maybe I'm not here to pass judgment on anybody. We don't know who you are. We don't know who your husband. I'm just giving you the possible and probable causes. Remember this. What has happened is that initially your husband was attracted to you and so forth. Then after that you gave birth to one child, two children, all that. So now you're no more so slim, you're no more so trim. You were like that 1 liter bottle, now you're like that 5 liter bottle, you see. So now the husband says, now just javadani, leave it now. When he sees you, he don't feel attracted. But he doesn't realize it is his children, and he must be responsible also, not just leave everything to the wife and so forth. So there the husbands are guilty. Remember, the wife don't have a button, off-on button. One day they can make themselves slim and trim, and some there will be many bodily changes, physical changes, after you give birth and so forth. Your attention will not be only for the husband. Your attention will be now multitasking, certain times for the husband, certain time for the children, and so forth and so on. on. Sometime you must remember the husbands, they busy with the porn, they busy with the movies and all that. You go and ask these doctors and physicians and that. It's all their studies. Remember, this makes you turn off from your wife and so forth, and then your marital life becomes a disaster because that person finds it more entertaining to watch all that absolute filth and haram, and now he gets turned off from his wife and so forth. So I know, but maybe your husband is involved in that. From 6 o'clock he went to upper six, you understand, and this type of things. Third reason, so you must remember that you and your husband need to have a heart-to-heart chat when he's in a good mood, and make sure there's no children there or anything. And ask him that you made all the sacrifices. You left your parents, you left your siblings, you left your place of birth, and now he's treating you like this, as though you are just like a maid in the house or something. You must just clean the house, cook this, that, and he carries on his life. No. Marriage is not a dictatorship, marriage is a partnership. Your dukh and sukh, your happiness must be shared by both parties. Your sadness must be shared by both parties. Therefore, you should have the similar outlook in life. It's not bedroom and bathroom only. It is that the bodies must meet, the hearts must meet. There must be unity of purpose and unity of objectives. And then you take up the challenges together. The turbulence that come, you overcome it together. That is what Islam teaches.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. 11 minutes to 12. I love that sentence, Ustad. Duk and Suk must be shared by both parties. Somebody sent me a message. It says, my name is Dawood Bai from Mafeking. Hope you well, Mufti Sab and Mulana Arafat. Okay, please sponsor a decoder for me, your dear friend Bai. Ustad.
So you must remember that Dawood Mota. So Dawood Mota, that Mohan Arafat was saying he liked duk and suk. So I want to rewind a little bit. Certain things, they remain stuck in my brain, you know.
Listen, Ustad.
So my wife also tells me, people tell me, like the elephant, you don't forget these things, you know. So you see, South Africa, we had the apartheid, white minority apartheid regime. Mm-hmm. You know, all this Botha and the Klerk and Verwoerd and Foster and all of them. Then after that, we had these other characters, you understand? Tricameral parliament, you understand? Mm. For the Indians, they had their own, this Rajbansi and all of them. And then for the Coloureds, they had and all this. They call them tricameral parliament and all that. So anyway, so that time was Rajbansi's time. There was one guy, he was called Mr. Duki. He was a minister. So he was also a member in that. So when I used to tell you his name, I was wonder whether Mr. Duki is Mr. Duk or Mr. Suk. You understand? Whether he's happy or whether he's sad. So on that point, I remember, because you said you like Duki and Duk and Suk. You understand? So his name was Mr. Duki. You go check it up there in the archives and Google it. You'll understand. South African tricameral parliament. And Dawood Mota, you say you are in Mafeking. So now when you come here to Johannesburg and so forth, or somebody is coming from here, so we don't know you, but anyway, that I buy some receivers myself. So
send a message. I said I will be in Lens this Sunday.
Yeah, so you come here Sunday, inshallah, and I'll give you from my side one, inshallah. Alright, Dawood Mota.
Subhanallah.
Or all the Dawoods, we call them, you know, Bin Dawood is a big supermarket in Makkah, Medina, Jeddah. So we call all the Dawoods, we call them Dawood Mota. So Dawood Mota, you phone, and then you come here, inshallah.
I see Dr. Sab again is giving his input. He says, you're right, Mufti Sab. Those days, the tricameral parliament. Who's that?
Yeah, there was one Duki there. We must just see. He was also Rajbansi and them.
Who said, what are your thoughts on having children at this age? My wife is 48 and I'm 59. We decided this too late. Please make us maaf, Mufti Sab. I think we both had enjoyed life together. Now we really want a child before we close our eyes.
That's fine. If both
people
of you,
say we're too old now. It's not healthy, Ustad. That's what
you must
say.
Tell them you might be old, but you're not cold, my brother. Our principal, Mohana Qasim Sema, you understand, Rahimahullah, he passed away in 2007 at the ripe old age of 87. Islamically, if you look at it, it's 90 almost. And when he was about 81, 82, mashallah, his wife gave, his first wife passed away, that he remarried. So mashallah, his wife gave birth when Maulana was 80 or 81 years old. So remember that you can be old, but you're not cold. So we had these Cape Town students there at Darul Uloom. They used to speak Afrikaans, and I know Afrikaans.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, cake on safer yellow mouse. Maulana's out, but Maulana's the coat. So we see, we tell you that Maulana is old, but Maulana is not sleeping. He's wide awake. See there, in the age of 80, 81, he still fathered her. Kutsiya. I still remember the daughter's name. So her name was Kutsiya. She's still, mashallah.
Mm.
So you must, around now, she must be around about 15, 18.
16, 17
years old.
0847863132. Let's go to the next question. Somebody says here, Mufti Saab, I would like to remain anonymous. I'm enjoying the bliss of marriage today. It's, can I take my four wives out together for lunch as they don't see eye to eye? I want them to sort their differences on one table. Anonymous brother, please advise me, Ustad.
So why the table has to be outside the house? Why you don't use it, the table inside the house? So you must remember this.
Mm.
If they can't find a big table in the house, then take them to the outbuilding. And then you speak there and so forth. So you're going to go outside and then they're all going to fight with one another. There'll be people seeing there. There'll be Skopskit and Donner going on there.
Mm.
You will get cross and angry with this one, then with that one. And all, then all four will get busy with you and give you a hiding right, left, center, and everywhere. So, brother, you might end up in a hospital also. So, you sort all your differences out in your house, not that. And you may be the biggest problem instead of being the solution. Why? Quran Kareem states, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً. That if you can't do justice, then one wife. But you already got four. So now you must ask yourself, my brother, one question. Am I really being just with all four of my wives? Now here we divide it into two categories. Certain things of justice is within our control. So now the money, the groceries, this, that, all that. You're spending the time every night, every week, whatever arrangements you make. That's within your power. But you got Fatima, Zainab, Jamila, Aisha. That are your four wives. But you love Fatima more. You love Aisha more. So that is beyond your control. You must remember, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had several wives. But the love he had for Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was much more. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set the precedent for humanity and posterity. O Allah, Allahumma la tu'akhidni fi ma la amliku bal tamlik. Ya Allah, don't take me to task for that which I cannot possess. How you have children, three children, four children, and amongst them you have one favorite son, one favorite daughter. So you must not show favoritism to that child in front of everybody. But in your heart, you have a greater love for them. So that is acceptable. So similarly, with your four wives, that is what you need to do, brother.
Mm-hmm.
So have the meeting in your home and no, tell the children all go play outside and you sort out your differences. Not go outside there. I can tell you from now, when you go outside, then there will be a lot of things flying around.
Ustad, he says, Mufti Saab, it's me again with the four wives. If they kill me, do I put each of them in my will? Ustad.
You must remember whether or not they're going to kill you, that only Allah knows. I don't think they'll kill you, but remember you got a child from any one of them, so then they all together will inherit 12.5%. Not 12.5, 12.5, 12.5. So 3.some% they all will inherit, you must remember. So that is collectively 12.5, and then the remainder will go to your children and so forth. So what my advice to you, my brother, have a big meeting in Daba. They call it nowadays, you know. Have a in Daba, a big meeting with your four wives and tell them, see, I'm getting old now. I'm 45, 50, 60, 70 years old. And now I have to sort out a lot of things. Tell them I'm not speaking about the bedroom and bathroom. I'm speaking about my assets. So the easy way for me to sort it out is this. My car, I'm giving you wife number one. And jewelry, we're giving wife number two. And the house, we're giving wife number three. And the shop, we're giving house number four. Whatever it is, I'm just giving examples. And the value is equal approximately, you understand? You must transfer the title, deeds, everything on their name. You can't make conditions that the rental must come to you and so forth.
Mm.
So try and sort all those things out. Then nobody will kill you. They all will make dua for you.
Mm. I see Bam from Nigel says, Mufti Saab, tell the listeners, shoo, how does he cope with four wives? Bah.
But you can try. You can try and then you phone and tell us.
Ustaz, 2 minutes for the news. What's the run-up, Ustaz, throughout the day?
Yeah, mashallah, 12 o'clock we have the news. And thereafter we have Brother Alphas and Kosi with the current affairs. 1 o'clock, inshallah, will be Adhan. 5 past 1 to half past 1 will be Wailul Mutaffifin. And today, inshallah, we conclude and complete the surah. Half past 1 to 2 is Surah Maryam. 2 to 3 o'clock, our brother Sheikh Zakaria, ma'Allah, in the mercy of Almighty Allah. 3 to 5.30, inshallah, our brother Yusuf Ali, and the afternoon drive program show. And 5.30 to 7, inshallah, we work with the Maghrib time of Durban, Moana Khalid Yaqub, mashallah, from our Durban studio. 7 to half past 7, tonight, inshallah, the repeat of my tafsir program, which you will listen, 5 past 1 to half past 1. Half past 7 to 8, inshallah, will be the Maulana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah's advices. 8 to 9, very important program. And the host is our own Dr. Yusuf Wahid of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the guest will be Dr. Farooq Randeri. He is a specialist psychiatrist. The topic under discussion is OCD. So may Almighty Allah make it easy for us and the Ummah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We leave you and love you. See you tomorrow morning with our program with Safina to Ila al-Jannah. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Brother Alphas in Kosi. From myself, Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.